Hi, I'm Jasper Pattenden at Wickham Wanderers, and you're listening to Wickham Sound.
The Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Wickham Wanderers Show, where it's the week where the highlight of, I'm sure, your week as well, was Aston Villa coming to the fantastic arena that is Adams Park, and the home side giving a fantastic display, although despite losing, ultimately, still doing themselves and the club enormous credit. A 2-1 defeat in the Carabao Cup, but a fantastic night had by all. We'll hear from manager Matt Bloomfield speaking after that game, and also midfielder Tyreek Beckinson, who was man of the match in that performance as well. We'll speak to Phil in a few moments' time, as you'd expect. We'll review that and look ahead to Saturday's trip to Bristol Rovers. We'll get the thoughts of the chairman as well, Dan Rice, who this week has written an open letter to supporters on the club's website as well, which will be very interesting too. Plus, we'll hear from Pep Guardiola. No, really, it should have happened last week. I'll explain more in a second. Still funny, I'm sure you'll agree. I hope you'll agree. You might not agree. Vince Faulkner from the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Player Association joins us as well, building up to the annual dinner, which is taking place on November the 15th, and looking ahead, and looking back, I should say, at Tuesday night as well, and the Cliff Trot presentation as well. That bit fell down. It'll be okay, though. It'll be okay when it happens. Also, with Wickham Wanderers Women, they had a 13-1 win in the second qualifying round of the Women's FA Cup on Sunday. They'll play Comets in the third qualifying round, and we'll catch up with their winger, Imani Kasim, chats to us as well. She was among the, the many goal scorers on Sunday as well. So lots to bring you in the next hour, and possibly things that we haven't mentioned either. But first, let's chat to Phil. Let's take you back to Tuesday night at Adams Park. We spoke to him yesterday morning, actually, to get his thoughts and his main reflections on that evening.
Mixed emotions, Colin, really, because a fantastic night, first and foremost, at Adams Park. Under the lights, over 8,000 fans in, which was wonderful to see, and a fantastic game to watch. So hopefully the people that did make the journey to Adams Park enjoyed the experience, enjoyed the game, and are already looking at purchasing tickets for our game against Crawley a week on Saturday. It'd be wonderful to see more people getting behind the team in the league. But then the other sensation, this feels a little odd, having just played a team from the Premier League, who's playing in the Champions League this season, who put out a strong side last night. It's a little bit of disappointment, because I thought we had the chances, enough chances, to get something from the game and at least take it to penalties. And, you know, to lose narrowly at the end felt hard to take, actually, because the performance was that good. But, you know, the overriding sensation is pride from the team performance and to see Adams Park full and with a great atmosphere.
It did feel, you know, such a credit to the team, I guess, as well, but especially that, you know, there was such disappointment after the penalty that Villa awarded.
Yeah, and, you know, because it was a Sky game, there's several camera angles of it, all of which are fairly illuminating in terms of it didn't look like a penalty at the time. It certainly doesn't look like a penalty on the replay. But look, that's football. We had chances in the game. And I think the difference really, it was a tight game, which was again, credit to Wickham for that. The first goal, Emi Buendia's header, was an exceptional finish. It was a difficult chance and he put it away. Wickham had some difficult chances and didn't make them count. And there, I think, probably was the crux of the game. But what a wonderful moment at the end for Richard Kone. He missed a really good chance 30 seconds before. And this is what I love about him. He's just sort of, he just picks himself up and goes again straight away and did that, had the opportunity and put away a far more difficult chance to get himself a goal against a Premier League team. And, you know, it just adds another chapter into the fantastic story that is Richard Kone. But yeah, so that was a nice moment for him and an even better moment for the fans as well, who deserve something to cheer and applaud. And that came right at the end. And also the fans who then stayed behind and showed their appreciation for the team was a nice moment. And it was good to see Matt Bloomfield enjoying that too. And it was great to hear from him after the game.
There was a big job on tonight for Tyreek Beckinson, with Buendia playing between the lines for Aston Villa. And I thought he was excellent. Tyreek is a boy that's evolving in his game for us, but we're really pleased to have him. So there's plenty of things that go out. I'm sure there'll be a lot more once I watch the game back when I get home tonight, in terms of what went into it. But, you know, it's just frustration because, you know, we had some really good moments at the top of the pitch, some real good opportunities, and ultimately the goal that's decided it is obviously disappointing as well.
Disappointing from what? From the fact that the penalty was given?
I think so, yeah. I think that I've watched it back and you know, social media seems to be full of everyone's opinion, so I'm not going to go too deep into it because, you know, it's tough for the referees. Have real hard decisions to make, but we just come out of it feeling slightly aggrieved.
You had chances after that. Obviously, you did score the consolation, but had one of the previous good chances you created gone in, it could have been a different story.
Yeah, I think the game was always going to be controlled in the first half. We had to be controlled in our play. We had to be controlled in our shape and structure. But as the game wears on, the emotion comes into it. We're attacking the terrace and they're full of voice in that end. And, you know, we made some substitutions to add extra pace and energy to our attack. And we had, like I say, several opportunities to get a goal, you know, to equalise at 1-1. I think we had some really good opportunities, and who knows where it would have gone from there. And even at 2-0 down, we had some real good opportunities 10 minutes previous to the one we scored. So, listen, shoulda, woulda, coulda. On another day, maybe one of them goes in, but it doesn't. But we kept plugging away, and to see the way the boys kept going and Richard gets his goal, he's going to be a good player for us. So, that's that mixture of emotions.
You've been very magnanimous about the award of the penalty, but have you had a chance to speak to John Busby about it?
Not yet, no. I'll discuss it with him. Like I said, look, I'm not here to... I don't think it's right the way managers speak about referees certain times. You know, I'm here to give my opinion, and I will do so, and I'll speak to John in the correct manner. You know, I think that any manager would feel aggrieved with it's not his, you know. I think the other way is, you know, he's been given a decision to make for a situation and he has to make that decision at that moment. It's tough for referees when players fall the way they did tonight. But, yeah.
Thank you, mate.
Bye. So
three defeats as a player and manager against Villa now. Are you starting to think it's never going to happen?
Oh, that's a bit strong. It's, I think the other two games was as a League Two club, was one of them as a League One club. Two, playing against Premier League international footballers, Brendia Port for 40 million. I'm not sure about that. If I get to play them another three times, I hope that we'll be doing something right playing against Premier League opposition.
They had a lot of quality in the pitch to be fair tonight, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. So we had to be really tactically sound to try and nullify that. Some incredible footballers out there on show, but you know, we've got some decent players ourselves, and I'm really, really pleased with the way they play tonight.
How proud are you of yourself as well, Matt? Because it looked like you helped tactics Emery at some point in today's game.
I don't think you're going to get me quoting that, mate, if I'm honest.
It was a perfect game plan for much of the game.
Yeah, we work really hard. We work extremely long hours, you know, to try and have a game plan for each individual match, and that's going to vary from game to game, obviously. We studied Aston Villa. We kind of know they were going to be different personnel, but we assumed and thought that they would look in the same structure as what they do in the Premier League game. So we analysed those and came up with a plan of our own. And it's very kind of you to say, you know, we were sound in our tactical plan, and the boys, it's not up to us. It's about the players who go and execute it on the pitch, and they believed in it and they went and executed it. So, you know, out of possession especially, I thought we were very, very good, and some of our play on the ball as well was certainly very good.
Matt, have you seen yet? I know you were keen to see him tonight.
Yeah, no, I just saw him after the game and congratulated him on the win. Full of respect to, you know, for our opposition tonight, elite level opposition with incredible manager. And if I get to have 5 minutes, it'll be great. But all managers are busy people. I'm sure he's got plenty to be doing.
Yeah, was he respectful of your team's performance?
Like I think so. Yeah, we haven't had too long to chat, but you know, I'm sure that, you know, Aston Villa know they've been in a good game tonight. We played the game the right way, as I see fit. You know, we weren't looking to spoil, and you know, we were looking to play, and you know, tactically we had to be sound. And when we're on the ball, we like to try to play in the right way. Yeah, so I think we've conducted ourselves in the way I wanted us to tonight. So for that, I'm extremely proud. Yeah, cheers. Cheers.
Okay. Yeah. I'm guessing, despite the defeat, I'm guessing you're very proud of the effort that the lads put in today.
Yeah, absolutely. The effort and application is never in doubt with this group. You know, we've got some real special individuals in that change room who are clubbing together and really working to try and achieve what they want to go and do this season. So, yeah, I have to be proud of what they've put into the match. And I'm disappointed for the boys. I'm disappointed for the supporters that we didn't go even further in the match, because I really believed it could happen tonight.
Will this game really help the players going forward, take it into the next games and what they'll have learned from tonight?
I think that, once we get time to analyse it and watch it back and really kind of present back to the players how the game went and what things we can take from the game and what we need to try and improve on, then, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the belief is growing in the change room. I feel like the way we've played throughout the start of the season is starting to move forward with a little bit of momentum, and we have to use this as another step forward despite the result. I really believe we could win, but
but we have to take the positives from it and move on to Saturday because the game will come around very quickly.
Great to hear from the manager, as you say, and you know, you can tell the sort of disappointment with the penalty, but such pride as well. And I think speaking to fans afterwards, you know, so many observe that the organisation of the team, the hard work of the team, and you know, with Tyreek Benkinson getting the man of the match as well, we're putting a great performance too.
Yeah, we've been talking about the squad a lot in these conversations, haven't we? And I think last night was an underlining of that point, because Matt Butcher and Tyreek Benkinson haven't had a huge amount of game time in the league games. The cup game last night, Wickham made 8 changes themselves coming into this game against Aston Villa. And it doesn't weaken the team, and it provides opportunities for players to catch the manager's eye and give him headaches going into Saturday. And Tyreek and Matt Butcher certainly did that last night. Alex Hartridge at left back as well was excellent, and kept Leon Bailey quiet for large parts of that game, which was good for him too. And yeah, I think the squad game that Wickham have got now is really good, and it needs managing and it needs players getting minutes as and when. And as I said earlier on, it's just a disappointment that we didn't get to penalties, because I'd have backed us to winning penalties. And then we could be talking about a fourth round tie and another opportunity for players to get minutes as well. So back to league action though this weekend, and a trip to Bristol Rovers. But we can hopefully keep riding this wave of momentum, which I include last night in as well, even though the result went against us. I think the performance was strong, both tactically and the way the players delivered it on the pitch. So we look to continue the fine league form, last night's performance, into Saturday at Bristol Rovers.
It does feel like, doesn't it, something really exciting that's being built. And, you know, as you say, last night really showed that, and you really feel it's coming to fruition with the league performances as well.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the substitutions as well showed that. Cameron Humphreys, Gareth McCleary, players that are getting into really, really good form too. So, yeah, I think, you know, things look good. It's a double game week as well. We've got a Tuesday night game away at Barnsley, so 2 back-to-back away games. Yes, lots of travel, and there'll be tough tests as well. Barnsley are at the top end of the table already. You know, they did get beat 7-0 by Manchester United, which again, I think, puts last night into perspective a bit. So yeah, I think these are tough games coming up, and I don't want to sound too much like the manager here, because every game in League One is going to be tough. We saw that with Cambridge in parts last Saturday. And they're bottom of the league. So look, this is going to be a tough weekend in terms of fixtures, but we can go into it full of hope and optimism, the two dangerous words for football fans, that we can get results.
Because obviously you played Cambridge last week, you haven't won at all. I've got Bristol Rovers who haven't won, but they've lost their last 3, haven't they? And then obviously Burton and Crawley, as you mentioned, on the horizon as well. They're both in similar form as well.
Yes, yeah. It's tough to look at the form table at this stage of the season. You know, if we look at Huddersfield this weekend, now they've just had 2 games themselves. They had a league game last night and a league game on Saturday at home to Northampton. They lost both, and they were in really good form, having beaten Bolton 4-0 the week previously. So we're approaching the magic 10 game mark, and we'll be getting there in a few weeks. But at this stage of the season, it's really, really hard to predict any form of patterns or sequences. You tend to think away games are going to be harder, and that's all you can grab onto, really. But yeah, we've seen teams start well, you know, Huddersfield, and then it gives opportunities for analysts to look at them and unpick how they play, and they have a bit of a wobble and come back again stronger. You know, you've got the new manager bounces that are taking place now around the leagues, and Steve Bruce at Blackpool, 3 games in, 3 wins, which was excellent return for him. So they could be one to watch. So maybe we got them at a good time. We'll see. But yeah, I think Wickham will go with full confidence into Bristol Rovers. It's a place we've had good results in recent years as well. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they've built since last time we were there, because they were sort of just putting the framework up of the new away end last season. They may have even got planning permission for it now and finished it. I'm looking forward to finding out.
Welcome to the new construction element of the show.
I'll be wearing my hard hat.
Health and safety, of course. And also,
well, I always wear a hard hat when I go to Mr. Rovers.
Perhaps for different reasons. But also, you mentioned that the 8 changes from last night. Are we likely to see perhaps another different starting lineup on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, when we heard Matt Bloomfield talking earlier, he talked about players being in their red zone for running at full pelt and stuff like that. And these are the stats and data that are available to managers now, which will contribute to their decision. So it's not just on who's in form, who's playing well, etc. There'll be, you know, the loading and making sure that they're sort of preventing injuries as well, to make sure these players are available for as many minutes as they can be. With five subs now in the EFL as well, I think managers have got their head around that now in the last sort of 2 years, and we're seeing, you know, subs being made earlier and early, you know, numerous substitutions as well. We saw it last night at Wycombe Wanderers. They put on a new front three all at the same time. So yeah, I think we're seeing that really playing into things as well now. So yeah, I think there'll be changes on Saturday. Aaron Morley was cup tied last night, as was Caleb Taylor. So we'll see what happens. But Declan Skua was excellent last night against the Premier League team. So we talked about the cliche headaches for managers, and we talk about the good headache that Matt Bloomfield has got this week, because lots of players presenting a good case for why they should start on Saturday.
Will you be in the red zone yourself at the Memorial Stadium?
I think constantly in the red zone, you know, as a reporter when you're travelling around, you know, visiting wonderful service stations at all hours of the day. I feel like I'm constantly in the red zone, or dare I say the danger zone. Was that Kenny Loggins, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you could be blaring that out whilst travelling to the grounds.
Yeah, my theme tune, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah, excellent. Something to chat through with your sponsor.
Yes, great to see my sponsor last night, Bev Eames, who came up to the gantry for the first time to check out the view that we have. And as is the rule with the gantry, those who enter the gantry must present us with an array of sweet treats and snacks. And she did disappoint there. So thanks, Bev.
Top marks to her. Thank you so much. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
Cheers, Colin.
Always a pleasure, and I really appreciate having Phil's contribution to the show. It's rare that we can cover such broad things, not just football. Construction was mentioned. Kenny Loggins got a mention as well. Might have to pay copyright for that. A pleasure to be at Adams Park on Tuesday as well, and be one of the 8,158 who were in attendance. If that was you as well, I'm sure you were enjoying what was on offer in front of you, and very proud of the home team as well for their effort and our hard work as well. It was fantastic, as I say, to be there. I don't get to go to as many games as I'd like, mainly due to sort of work and radio commitments here too, on a Tuesday and obviously a Saturday as well. So very much relying on Phil's contribution, who spoke to midfielder Tyreek Backinson, who was man of the match on Tuesday night as well. And as you can imagine, he was quite pleased with his own contribution as well.
I think obviously it was a team for them filled with quality. Obviously we've seen, you know, those players playing in, you know, Premier League, Champions League. So yeah, I'm proud of the boys today, but at the same time, I think it's credit to us. I think I was still a little bit disappointed towards the end, because I think we had some good chances, but yeah, just come up short towards the end.
And a great performance from yourself in the middle there too.
Yeah, obviously we've got a strong competition for places, and everyone's doing well, so yeah, just obviously got to go out there when you can, when you get the opportunity, and do as best that you can. So I'm glad that, you know, that's the verdict today.
What's it like there? You said it, Premier League players, Emi Buendia, etc. What's it like going toe-to-toe with players like that out there?
Yeah, I think it's always a great opportunity for you know, players, you know, not there at the moment. And obviously you can kind of judge, you know, where you're at compared to where they're at, and, you know, the difference that you need to, you know, work on and things like that. So it was a great experience for me personally. And I think for the boys and even the fans as well, obviously you saw them come out here in numbers, and I think that's the best atmosphere I've seen here so far. So yeah, I think just a great occasion for everyone.
Yeah, I was about to reference great atmosphere here, and the fans really helped pull you through some moments there today too.
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, they were fantastic today. So it's really good to see them come in their numbers, and hopefully we can see that again too.
And rewarded with a goal at the end there, which I think was very important. Wycombe fans, you know, deserve that too. And Richard popped one in the end there.
Yeah, of course. I was really, you know, glad for them so that they could celebrate a goal as well, because obviously, you know, the support was so good throughout the game. It was a only right we gave them something to, you know, a goal to cheer for.
You've referenced the squad depth here as well and rotation for both teams, but a really good cup game nonetheless.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I think, you know, we've got what I think is a really strong squad this season. You know, I'm really proud of everyone that's been, you know, we're all kind of pulling in the same direction. So, yeah, we just obviously want to make each other better in the competition and won't he improve us.
And back to league now on Saturday as well, and a strong performance tonight, and we can roll that into Bristol Rovers on Saturday. And the momentum in the league is building too, so another good opportunity Saturday.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, we know it's going to be a tough test. You know, I don't think there's any easy games in this league, especially, you know, in these cup games like we've seen today. But yeah, we'll prepare as we do every other game and give it everything.
Great to hear from Tyreek on the show. You can hear that full chat with Phil on Wanderers TV, of course. Much talk about the crowd as well. It was the second highest Home League Cup attendance of all time. A fantastic effort from everyone. It was really great walking up to the ground on Hillbottom Road, and just the cars and the fans walking along and hearing the chat as well. Really brilliant atmosphere, both in the run-up to the ground and at Adams Park itself. Fantastic under the lights as well. Something which was acknowledged by Chairman Dan Rice, who's written a message to Wycombe Wanderers fans following their phenomenal support. It's on the website, but if you haven't seen it, you can imagine Dan Rice saying this, although it will sound a lot like me. On behalf of the Board of Directors, I'd like to express our gratitude for all the hard work and dedication of everyone at the club throughout the build-up to the game and during the night itself. While the results didn't go our way, it was a clear reflection of the progress we are making both on and off the pitch. We're proud to have seen an enormous amount of praise from the football community, and the commitment and professionalism displayed by everyone was incredible. Nights like that remind us that we are on the right path, and we have no doubt that there will be many more memorable moments ahead. We should all be very proud of what we have achieved together and be excited to see where the journey takes us. Thank you to everyone for playing their part. The words of Chairman Dan Rice, and you can find that on the club's website as well. But if you haven't had time or don't access the internet, I've passed it on to you here on the Wycombe Wanderers Show on Wycombe Sound.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
Still to come on this week's edition of the Wycombe Wanderers Show, we'll hear more from manager Matt Bloomfield looking ahead to Saturday's trip to Bristol Rovers, and we'll catch up with Wycombe Wanderers women's winger Imani Kassem as well, who was among the goal scorers on Sunday's 13-1 victory in the FA Cup, the Women's FA Cup, of course, second round qualifying against Milton. But first, let's take you back to the 1960s. No, really, when central defender Vince Faulkner was playing for the club at Lokes Park, of course. But I've been speaking to him this afternoon as well, because he's now a committee member of the Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association. Much to cover with him, as, of course, he was at the game on Tuesday night as well, and can tell us more.
Well, absolutely right. I mean, so there was a crowd of, just over 8,000. I thought they brought a good support as well, and they were quite vocal and very friendly. We had a lot of people down in the sort of boxes where we were playing, you know, sort of great respect to Wycombe and saying how well we'd played, and we were unlucky, and you know, it was a dubious penalty and all that sort of thing. But no, it was a good evening out, and I thought the lads acquitted themselves well, and you know, I was very pleased with the performance for them.
And a great advert for what Matt Bloomfield's trying to do as well, with the team, you know, so organised and so full of energy as well.
Well, that's right, yeah, and I was pleased for the younger lads like you know, Mr. Pattenden and Declan Scorer. I thought they completed very well and did well at the back. So, you know, with Jasper as well, I thought they did very well.
A really great opportunity for youngsters, but also more established players as well. It was a great landmark for Josh Cohen, who captained the side on the night for his 500th appearance in his career.
Right. That's right, absolutely right. Yeah, no, I thought that they're gelling very well together. I know there's a good... you know, there's a good team spirit within the squad, and you know, it all comes to fruition, because I saw a couple of the older lads who were there in the evening and got speaking to them, and you know, it's all as we use the word Wycombe, it's a family, so it's all good.
And really inspirational for up and coming players as well to see players like that, and David Wheeler as well, who's nearing his double century of appearances.
Well, that's
as well.
Right, that's right. Yeah, it was lovely to see him back out there again, because you know, he's had a sort of an injury spat this year as well. So no, I was well pleased, and as I say, the evening I thought was a credit to Wycombe Wanderers Football Club.
And great to see how well the new signings are settling in as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Absolutely right. Yeah, and I think you know, I've started to meet a couple of them as well, and. Yeah, I think the club is, you know, with a new owner and everything else, it's hopefully all coming together, especially when, you know, the new group training ground gets all sorted and everything sorted out there. Hopefully things will improve even better.
And do occasions like that really jog your memory as well, to when there were big attendances and big games that you featured in as well?
Well, that's absolutely right, yeah. I mean, so, you know, when I started off down at Wycombe, you know, we had 5,000 or 6,000 for home crowds all the time, and when we were in the Isthmian League. But no, it all brings back lovely memories, and, you know, we... As you know, we said before, we've got lots of you know, ex-players that are still in sort of, you know, contact all the time, and no, it's really lovely to reminisce.
It's incredible as well to reflect on with the ex-players dinner this year, the theme of 30 years in the Football League. It's incredible, isn't it?
Well, that's right, yeah. I'm going to say that's obviously the one we've got down. That's on November the 15th. That's our big asset throughout the year for our charity. But this year, just to bring it to mention to everybody's mind, is Alzheimer's and dementia. You know, JDT, this year with John Bignall, I think, is presenting the evening. And we're looking for a good turnout and obviously a good thing, the money for the charity. So, you know, that's our fourth event of the year. That will culminate in giving Alzheimer's their charity sort of funds for the year. And we're hopeful that we're going to do at least as well as we did with prostate cancer last year.
I've been fortunate enough to attend the last couple, and there are so many, you know, benefits to an event like that, in that, you know, they bring together former players from different generations who can share their memories, ex-teammates as well, but also great for the fans to be able to rub shoulders with some of these people too.
No, that's absolutely right, and it does bring, as you've said, you know, it's the 30-year history that we've got going on, so all the all those players are going to be invited back again, and hopefully we'll be able to turn up. Unfortunately, of course, we have lost a couple over that period of time, but we do look forward to a good evening out, and you know, and long may it continue.
Are you able to tell us just some of those who will be in attendance?
Well, I hope John Maskell will be there, and Keith Searle, and I think Keith Ryan will be there, and you know, there's going to be lots of people there, so it's they're all going to be there.
And yourself, of course.
Well, I should be there only as a as a committee member of the Ex Players Association. That's right. But, yeah, no, I think, you know, most of the squad are going to be there, so we're looking forward to that, looking forward to that.
I don't know if you heard, we had Len Worley on last week, and he was paying tribute to, you know, the likes of yourself who do such a great role in, I'm sure you're far too modest to say, but a great role in keeping the Ex-Players Association going, and obviously JDT and Alan Hutchinson as well, but so many, you know, it's such a sort of great thing to be able to have at a club.
Well, that's right. As I said earlier, you know, without boring you with the name of the word family, but, you know, we are all there. I think, as we mentioned many times when I've been on before, you know, we've still got the six of us who still play golf twice together a week, you know, every week. And, you know, it's Keith Samuels, Les Merrick, Keith Searle, myself, Colin Bunting. We all play there, and, you know, we keep in touch, and it's twice a week, and it keeps the family spirit going.
That's incredible to imagine. Well, perhaps you can say, but however many years it was ago that you first met, and then you're still, you know, doing that today.
Well, it's 60 years ago now, because we all joined basically, you know, Colin Bunting was there in the late 50s. I joined in 63 along with Keith Samuels and everybody else. So, you know, it's 60 years plus that we've all been friends and kept going together and still got the camaraderie.
And is your golf improving as a result?
No. Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. But there you go. We keep trying, but it's the camaraderie and it's the exercise and everything else that keeps us going.
And I'm sure you never tire of, you know, remembering occasions and things that you've been through together in the dressing room and on the pitch.
Well, you don't. No, we still take the mickey out of another as we're going around the golf course, and, you know, we can't see if we'll find a ball or whatever. And, you know, John Maskell doesn't play golf with us, but we always remind John about when he was picking the ball out of the net. So, there's a lot of camaraderie, a lot of camaraderie.
And we talked about Josh and David with their career attendances, appearances, but it must be fantastic for you all to kind of reflect on how many appearances you made for the club and what great times you had.
Well, you were talking about, and we were talking about John Maskell earlier, weren't we? We were at the Elsa dinner the other evening. We had a table down there to support the Elsa club. It was a very, very good evening, well supported and well put together by Alan Hodgson and Sue McLeod, which we were pleased to go down. And, of course, John did his Q&A session down there with Phil Catchpole, which went down very well in the evening, actually. It was very good, and John did very well. Reminisced with all of his history and all his time in football and all of his games at Wickham, and plus when he was involved with Oxford City as well. So no, it was all good.
And something which really stood out from the last dinner as well, players or ex-players literally come from all around the world to attend.
Well, that's right. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And, you know, and as I say, they make the effort to come down. And as you mentioned with Jeff Anthony, I think, you know, not available today, but he was going to come over. And unfortunately, we had to change the date, which unfortunately means he won't be there. But, no, people do come from all over. So, no, it's nice to see. Nice to see.
And I guess as well, many people just rely on that feeling of community that you've all created and that you all do keep in touch, and events like the bowls and the quiz and the golf days are so special.
I think there was one other thing that is just coming to the fore as well. On January the 4th next year, we're looking forward, hopefully, to getting to do the 1975 squad as 50 years to the day when they played with the Middlesbrough two games. So that's going to be the next venture, I think, that JDT is going to be seriously working on once he's got the dinner over.
It's incredible to think how far the club has come in that time as well, because we were talking to Len, obviously, about the first trip to Wembley. But and as you say, there was that momentous occasion against Middlesbrough and some of the names that played in that. And then, you know, since we've obviously been in playoff finals and FA Trophy finals.
That's right, absolutely right. Yeah, but as I say, going back to 50 years with that squad and with the Middlesbrough game, because there are all of, I think, with the names of the people, you've got people like John Maskell, Paul Birdseye, Gary Hand, Keith Mead, Alan Phillips, Terry Reardon, unfortunately, no longer with us. But you've got Steve Perrin and Howard Kennedy, again, not with us. Keith Searle, Mickey Holyfield, not with us, unfortunately. And, of course, the great Tony Horseman and Dylan as well. So we've got all those players to hopefully contact, get in touch with and hopefully reminisce on the day.
Because obviously, as you say, we've spoken before about things that really sort of stand out in your memory, but it's fantastic how, you know, football does that, isn't it? Even as a fan or as a player, you know, there are certain occasions that you really treasure.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, it takes evening onto the stage, doesn't it, with the Cliff Trott situation. I think, as you're aware, Cliff Trott, unfortunately, no longer with us, but his family donated his 1957 Wembley final shirt and medal to the Ex-Players Association, which was unveiled at the Cambridge game on Saturday. We were in Monty's Bar, which, as you know, has been set up basically by the Ex-Players Association with all the memorabilia. And I'm pleased to say that that was added to it on last Saturday. So that was another lovely afternoon out as well.
As you say, just seeing that shirt, it just sort of takes people back to if they might have been to the game or just got the real sense of history of the club.
Well, that's right. Well, I was there as a supporter in 1957. I was a 10-year-old then. So, you know, it was really lovely to meet his family and to see the, you know, the shirt and the medal unveiled. It was lovely.
And it must have meant a lot to them as well.
Well, absolutely right. That's why, as I say, after all this time, they donated the shirt and the medal to the club. They contacted JDT and, you know, we were only too pleased to accept it, to get it all framed up nicely and to hang in Monty's Bar.
And really nice for younger fans as well to be able to sort of learn about, you know, Cliff and what his contribution was to the team and also, you know, the team of that era as well.
I mean, there were a lot of youngsters down there, especially as I think you know that Keith Samuels and myself, we do work in close liaisonship with the foundation where we do spectator tours and school tours during the summer. And, you know, we're lovely to get the kids down there and take them on a tour around the ground and show them everywhere behind the scenes, which they really appreciate.
It's easy to forget, isn't it? But as you say, you know, as someone, as a player yourself, but also, you know, was a fan previously too and obviously still is today.
We, you know, we get people who come up to us and still see. I mean, say we had a situation this last week where we did a ground tour on Wednesday of last week. Sorry, it was Saturday of last week. And there was a couple, there was a family over from America, and they brought a shirt in the shop afterwards. And then they asked Keith and I to sign it, which was brought back lots and lots of memories. But unfortunately, not current players, but there we are.
And it must be so nice for you as well, I guess, to follow, you know, players who now play in your position or, you know, speak to youngsters who are looking to do something similar.
Yeah, I'm involved, as you know, with doing players' tours around the ground prior to the matches. And, you know, it's lovely to meet the people who played in those positions and introduce them to people who are in there who are supporting the club as well.
It does feel, doesn't it, a really exciting time for the club moving forward, as you say, with Matt now sort of bringing in his players and the team playing the way he wants them to as well. But what, I'm sure we've asked you before, but what would you say is so special about the club that sort of keeps people for such a long time?
Well, it's just, as I say, it's the family spirit, it's the camaraderie within the players and the relationship between the players and the spectators. And that's the fundamental thing, I think. You can't say any more than that.
And I'm sure it happens with other clubs as well, but there seems to have been something, you know, each kind of decade or each sort of era of the team where, you know, something really special has happened.
Yeah, I mean, so we had our days going back. As I say, I wasn't there when the Middlesbrough situation, I just left when that came to be, but you know, everything goes on, and then the 30 years of being fully pro that we started the conversation about. It's everything. The club has moved on, and long may it continue.
It must be so nice as well for you to have, you know, fans come up to you and say, "Oh, I saw you play, or really enjoy." Because I think at the time you perhaps don't really appreciate how much kind of joy you're bringing to people on a Saturday or a midweek.
No, that's right. I mean, so there are people. I mean, say of our era now, there are unfortunately people are still not with us, but the younger crowds don't know who we were. But obviously, we try and get involved. And through the Ex-Players Association, so that they do know that we did have some input all those 60 years ago.
And I think what's really nice as well is that you and some of those other names that you mentioned can sort of give something back as well to the club also.
Well, Well, that's absolutely right. That's why, you know, as I say, people like myself, Keith Samuels, we go around, we do the tours for the club, we do the tours for the foundation. And, you know, we're on the ex-players committee and, you know, we just try and put back, which I think you said at the end of the day, we put back something that the club gave to us all those years ago and we're thankful for.
And we're talking about being in the Football League for 30 years, but I guess, you know, when you were playing, that's not something that you couldn't have imagined, that the club would be that well established.
Well, in actual fact, if you analyse that, we could have been in the league years before, because in our day, when there were the four leagues, there was Division 1, 2, 3 and 4, and whoever finished bottom of that league just automatically got re-promoted. They didn't actually have to reapply, they just got put back in the league, whereas they wouldn't allow people like from the Isthmian League or those to apply, and if we did apply, it was just rejected. So we could have been in the league years before, but as I say, we carried on and we won the Isthmian League Championships on a number of occasions, and you know, that led to obviously things where we are today.
No, absolutely. It's great to share your memories, and just let us know how we can find out more about the dinner especially, or any of the other ex-player activities.
Yeah, okay. Well, as I say, John Taylor sent out various letters and everything else, but you know, people can contact any of the ex-players committee, and I think most people know who we are, and just contact us, let us know, and you know, we'll only be too pleased to accommodate you on the night.
I think most people do know who you are.
That's a good batter and different, I'm not sure.
Brilliant to speak to you, and all the best with the fundraising as well.
Colin, it's lovely. Well, thank you very much for that, and it's been lovely to talk to you again.
Brilliant speaking to Vince Faulkner, who you can see at most matches or on golf courses as well in the area. We had Len Worley on last week, of course, who brought us the word rumbustious. Fantastic. And Vince gave us liaisonship. Liaisonship. Yeah, I liked it. This is continuing a pattern that we sort of dropped a bit last week, so I thought I'd bring it back. So in reverse order, Len Worley, who we had on last week, mentioned Vince Faulkner. So we had him on the following week, this week. This is trickier backwards, I've just realised. Let's start from the beginning. We had a chat with Phil a few weeks ago. He mentioned John Gorman's anecdote about the refereeing decision in the second half of the Villa game in 2005 in the League Cup. The following week, we had John Gorman on. John Gorman mentioned Keith Ryan, how fantastic it was to have Keith Ryan as part of his backroom team, one of his assistants. So the following week, we had Keith Ryan on. Can you tell where this is going? Keith Ryan mentioned Pep Guardiola, just in passing. So I thought, oh, we should have Pep Guardiola on, which should have been last week. But here he is this week instead.
When a team don't play with the best midfielder of the world for a long, long time, of course it was a big blow for us, but it's football, it's happened.
See, still funny. And and this week, last week, as I say, Len Worley mentioned Vince Faulkner, who we've had on this week. Told you it'd be worth it. And next week, not sure, we'll have to see. Scott McLeish is on next week, by the way, continuing our fantastic theme, thanks to the Wycombe Wanderers Ex Players Association. He hasn't been mentioned yet, has he? Well, I've just mentioned him. 30 years in the Football League.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire. And on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound.
Final part of this week's Wickham Wanderer show still to come. We'll hear from men's manager Matt Bloomfield looking ahead to the trip to Bristol Rovers and getting some final reflections from Tuesday night as well. Let's turn our attention now, though, to Wickham Wanderers women, who've had a fantastic cup game themselves on Sunday, winning by 13 goals to 1 against Milton in the second qualifying round of the Women's FA Cup. They've since been drawn against Comets, you might have heard, and preparing for this Sunday's game against Sholing. I've been very pleased to be catching up once again with winger and scorer from Sunday, Imani Kassem, who put in a pretty fantastic display all round.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, obviously, we all went in to win the game because we wanted to get into the next round, and we did that. And I think collectively, we all played our part and we all played well.
And I know, obviously, speaking to you at the media event before the season, but does it feel, you know, such a good way to be starting the season? Because I think, you know, you ended the previous campaign in such good form as well, and at the Sponsors Cup match as well, put in such a great display. So it must be so great for you all to be firing again, especially with the new signings as well.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like this season we have a lot of potential in the team now. And even before we had the media day, we didn't have a lot of the signings that we have now, but we have a few additions, and I think they bring a lot of quality to the team, so I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes.
And is that something you've noticed as well, just even since in your time at being at the club, how things are really developing?
Oh yeah, definitely. I feel like since I've been there, I've been able to see all the changes Carl's making, and I can see a lot of the progression happening so quickly, and it's just exciting to see.
And I know when we spoke to you before as well, and obviously your position as a winger is so exciting for you and for fans as well, just to be able to see, you know, what you're going to sort of do next.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. As a winger, I feel like my main role, like I said in my previous time when I was speaking to you, was how I like to obviously assist and score. However, I do like to entertain the crowd. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to keep like carrying on playing in that position.
And as you say, with the new players arriving, it's a great opportunity for you to kind of link up and you know, get more of the ball and get more, you know, more goal opportunities as well.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like we're gelling really well together, and I feel like we're bringing a lot of outcomes and we all collectively play well together, especially the new additions front line. Like, I feel like we're all combining really well and there's a great chemistry between us. Yeah.
And Carl was saying in the build-up to the season, he's looking for more creativity and more attacking this season, and obviously that's something that suits your game as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like he has been a great scout and he's brought in them players. So, yeah, it's going to be fun playing this season with the girls. I'm looking forward to it.
So what was your main feeling after Sunday, obviously having so many goals, you know, so many players contributing as well?
Yeah, I mean, Sunday's feeling was amazing and I hope we can bring it for the next cup game. It was amazing.
Do you know much about Comet, so you'll be facing next?
Honestly, I don't know who they are. I know they're based around me, so that's interesting. But yeah, I've never heard of them, but I hope it's a good game.
And is it nice to come up against, you know, perhaps, you know, teams from different levels in the women's game in the pyramid, and just to, you know, test yourself? And I know in pre-season as well, you face teams from different levels as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really interesting because you never know who you're going to play. Like, sometimes it can be a bit of a challenge, and sometimes, like, we can get through the game quite easily. And yeah, I feel like just not knowing who you're playing next is just really interesting. And it's a bit like, you know, you go into the game a bit nervous because obviously you don't know who you're playing, but, you know, I'm confident with the team we have that we shouldn't have any worries going forward.
Does it really help as well to have, you know, so many players in the Wickham team who've played at different levels and at different clubs as well, and they can bring that experience too?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of new players have come from higher levels, so I think it takes away the nerves of if we do play against a harder team, we know we have players with experience now, so hopefully, you know, we can go in and smash it.
And so many younger players as well in your team, which must be a great blend for you as well, to have those who've experienced, but also those who are young and coming up as well.
Yeah, a lot of the girls are young and a few of us are older. So there's a great mix in the team. And, you know, especially with the young ones being so good, you can't even tell they're the young ones in the team. Like, everyone just blends in really well.
And great, I guess, obviously, the feeling after Sunday, going into this Sunday's game as well, that must give you a great boost in terms of confidence and a great run that you'll be on now.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to get back to the league game because we're still on our mission to get promoted. So obviously, this is just another game that's to bring us closer to our campaign. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, actually. And I'm looking forward to getting the win and the 3 points.
And does it feel like for you personally, but and for the team as well, that this season, you know, promotion definitely is in grasp and you've got the resources to achieve that?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that's one of the big questions. In my opinion, I feel like we've definitely got it in our hands. We just need to perform like how we train and we should have no worries.
And I know we asked you last time we spoke as well, but do you have sort of personal goals and also collectively that you'd like to achieve this season as well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would like to score as many goals as I can for the club and get as many assists. So yeah, I'm looking forward to contributing and moving forward with that.
Well, it's been brilliant to speak to you again. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Speak soon.
Great chatting to you, Imani, and do look out for her more in terms of on the wing and also scoring as well as Wickham Wanderers Women's season continues. Let's reflect now more, though, on Sunday's fantastic 13-1 victory over Milton in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. I'm very pleased to say we can chat to Darcy from the Foundation, who joins us. It must have been quite special to have been at the game and also to sort of see how that kind of unfolded in terms of the goals. Like, you couldn't have imagined that there'd be quite so many.
Knew it was going to be a good game. We put on a good performance against Milton in the League Cup last season, where we travelled away to them and won 6-0. So we knew that Wickham would be capable of scoring a few goals. But I don't think anyone was expecting 13, even though the 13th was an own goal from Milton, which was probably an unlucky number 13 for them. But it was a great game. I just think it was such a good moment for the girls to get a few goals under their feet, especially Kayla Potter. It was only her second game for the chair girls. Racked up 5 goals and 2 assists in 45 minutes. If that's not a confidence boost, I don't know what is. So it was great.
No, definitely. And so impressive to see that the new signing settling in so quickly as well.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. But so Kayla Potter and Danielle Pudfoot signed, not last weekend, but the weekend before for the chair girls. They both have good experience in higher tiers. Danielle, especially, she played in the championship. Like, she's got a lot of experience, which will be so valuable to the team. Have a bit of an older voice, a responsible older voice in that midfield to help guide the team. And Kayla is just fantastic up front. She's, as we can see, 6 goals and 2 appearances, a very well-proven goal scorer. So it's a great move for the team and getting some good new faces on the pitch.
And Jess Watkins, who we'll be speaking to next week, she looks a great signing as well.
Yeah, she is. She got a brace on Sunday in the game. She had a great game. She played, I think, the full 90 minutes. So another good performance for her. And hopefully this weekend, head away to Scholling, another good opportunity to get some good goals in. But she's looked great and settled in perfectly as well.
And we spoke to Imani, obviously, earlier, and she was on the score sheet as well. And she's creating some really good things, but scoring herself as well.
Yeah, a brace for her as well on Sunday. We had 2 braces and she got the first one. She it's good for her to get a few goals in as well. She's such a good player. She's got such a good following as well. She's well known for her football, much like Jess is. So it was nice for her to get some home goals and get that score sheet, that goal tally running for the season.
And great to see Latifa among the goals as well. You know, we spoke pre-season about some of the players who've worked their way up and doing so well in the first team now.
Yeah, Latifa, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah, it was her first goal for the club on Sunday. So I think that's a nice moment for her as well. It's nice, I think, for these girls. They're not local to Wickham, a lot of them. They're having to make these long journeys to training twice a week, to the games. It's a huge commitment for them. So to be able to get on score sheets and have those confidence boosts in games and manage to get performances, get wins, they're on an unbeaten run of 3 at the moment, looking to make it 4 this weekend. It's been a great start to the season. After that shaky start against Porchester where they lost 3-0 at home, to bounce back from that immediately the week after and just keep coming out with these results, I think it's been incredible for them.
And a scoreline like that, a brilliant advert for the team as well. We talked about how, you know, the men's team did themselves credit on Tuesday night against higher opposition, and fantastic for the women's team to get an eye-catching scoreline for that, and, you know, many more fans hopefully as well.
Yeah, I hope so. I think the showing against Milton in the FA Cup, we had a good 120 people at Burnham, and they've got to see a good show. So it's just nice to bring these fans in from the men's side and show them that the women's team plays incredible football and they do get the results and they do put on a great show. It's different to the men's game, but it's so unique and so entertaining to come and watch. So hopefully this next FA Cup get around against Comets. We're playing Comets at home. We've got the draw now. They're a Tier 7 team and that we'll be playing them at Burnham. So again, another good show where we could probably get a good few goals in would be another great one for fans to come and watch and see what the women's team are all about.
Absolutely, and also the under-18s and the under-23s, the development team as well, doing so well, and great that they're getting good support too.
Yeah, they are. They get good support weekly when they alternate who plays at Burnham. The under-18s don't have a game this week, unfortunately, but the under-23s, they're doing so well. They're getting some good goals against tough opponents. So it's been a great start to the season for everyone.
And the weather, unfortunately, meaning that training is cancelled tonight, but hopefully they'll get the games on over the weekend. And also something else, just briefly, that came out of Tuesday night that was really nice is for Gemma Dunn, who isn't playing currently due to injury, but great for her to get that community award.
Yeah, it is. Gemma does so much for the community, for the girls, for the foundation. Since being injured, she has been coaching the under-18s and the under-23s. So even though she's not playing for the first team, she's not getting involved. She's still using her skills, her community outreach to help better the club. And I just think it's such a good demonstration of what the Chair Girls are about, what Wickham are about. It's a community, it's a family, and you don't just leave when you're injured. You're still welcomed no matter what.
It's been great to have you on the show. Thank you so much, Anita, for your time.
Thank you. Nice evening.
You too. Real pleasure chatting to Darcy from Wickham Wanderers Foundation. Let's now hear from Matt Bloomfield again, who's been speaking to Phil.
It's been lovely. You know, the night reflected well on us. I have a big tinge of disappointment that we didn't take it to penalties at least, and I think we had enough chances and opportunities to win the game. But the way the boys played tactically, I thought they were very, very good. So we took the game, we played it in the manner that we wanted to. We retained our identity from the league game, so there's plenty of positives to take, but it's always tinged with that disappointment when you don't win.
And you spoke to Unai Emery afterwards as well, and this is a manager that's won 9 major trophies at the top level as well. Great opportunity for you to connect with other coaches.
Yeah, they obviously had some some really top players on the pitch and showed their quality in moments. They looked to go and dominate the ball during the game. And yeah, obviously, you know, he's won enough trophies as a manager, and, you know, tactically I thought they were very good. But we gave a very good account of ourselves and we have to be proud of that.
And it's all eyes on Bristol Rovers now, back in League One, and some really good momentum for Wickham in the league going into this.
Yeah, I think, you know, we knew we had another really big week coming up for us off the back of the Cup game. I think that what we did really well pre-Aston Villa was to keep our focus on the league, which was so important for us. We wanted to go into that game off the back of some good results, and we did that. And now, you know, that's been and gone. It was a good experience for everybody, but all eyes on Bristol Rovers. I think Matt has recruited really, really well over the summer. Obviously spent some good money and recruited some good young players, so we know we're in for a tough game down at Bristol. It's always a tough afternoon going, you know, the atmosphere is always good, and I've always found it tough going there, so we know we're in for a big game, but we've had a little bit of momentum in the league. We want that to continue for us.
They've had some sticky results of late as well, but, you know, he's been there a little while now, had the window. You'll know what that feels like when you're in a run and how desperate you will to be breaking, and that's what you're up against, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, mate, they've got some very, very good players, led by a manager who knows the level very, very well. Managed in League 2, League 1 and the Championship, a really good football club. So, make no mistake, this is a very, very tough game for us and we have to be right at it.
And it's double game week, and it's 2 away games as well, which on one hand is great time, lots of time together as a squad, but lots of travel and lots of pressure on the bodies.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you know, we're in right in the middle of a really busy 7-game run in 3 weeks, so we have to make sure we're ready to rotate and keep the energy on the pitch. At the end of last season when we had the good run of results, we were... You know, I think you've got to be really careful not to overdo it, but we have to keep the energy on the pitch because of the way we want to play and the identity we're carrying. So we have to keep that energy, especially at the top end of the pitch when we want to press and keep the threat at the top of the pitch. So, yeah, it's going to be a couple of changes. We need to make sure that we're ready to go, absolutely.
We saw Fred for the first time in this spell at Wickham Wanderers again on Tuesday night, which was the fans were loving. Luke Lee, he back from injury as well. So more depth in the squad.
Yeah, some more depth. You know, we have to be careful with Bez because obviously he's just come back from an injury himself. We have to be careful with Fred because obviously he didn't have a club up for a long period of time over the summer. Lukey's back on the grass and we were able to get him back on the pitch on Tuesday night, which is brilliant. Lukey's a massive player for us, a huge character for us. So that's great having him back around it as well. So yeah, the boys are starting to come back. We're looking quite strong in terms of numbers, which is brilliant. So it all points towards added competition, which hopefully, as we've spoken about, heightens the competition and the performance level, which is what we want.
Wishing the team all the best for Saturday at Bristol Rovers. Don't forget you can hear more of that chat with the manager and Phil on Wanderers TV. It's on pre-match drills as well. A bit more on the return of Luke Leahy. Fantastic to see him back on the pitch on Tuesday night as well. Hope you've enjoyed the show this week. As I say, back next week. Among the highlights, we'll have Scott McLeish on, Jess Watkins from Wickham Wanderers Women as well, and much more. Hear more from the manager as well. Of course, 2 games to look back on, and a busy fixture schedule continuing as well. So hope you enjoy the full match commentary if you're not going to Bristol Rovers here on Wickham Sound and on Wanderers TV. Kick off on Saturdays at 3. Unusual. So 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday, and then there's Tuesday night's game as well. So much to look forward to here on Wickham Sound. Don't forget, if you're not around on a Thursday from 7, you'll be able to catch up with the podcast version wherever you get your podcast from.